glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Morning Glory on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. My name is Karuna and the time in the ashram right now is exactly 42 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time, and the current temperature outside the Prashanti Digital Studios is 23 degrees Celsius. It's clear skies and bright and sunny here in the Divine Valley. These days we are experiencing overnight lows of 16 degrees Celsius and daytime highs of 31 degrees Celsius. Quite a range there, with cool nights and warm sunshine in the afternoon. And it sure does feel a bit warmer when you're out there in the sun practicing for the big day, which is coming up soon. Yes, dear sisters and brothers, you heard it right. The countdown has well begun for the annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai schools, colleges and university scheduled at the historic and scenic Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium in Prashanthi Nilayam. On Monday, January the 11th, 2016, Baba's beloved students from grade 1 to PhD levels will offer their love and gratitude to their revered founder chancellor Bhagwan Baba in the form of march pasts, drills, gymnastics, acrobatics, dances and much more. In the process, thousands and thousands of spectators in the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium will witness the discipline, the skill, the precision, the creativity and perfection and love of Sai students in the form of their various presentations. And thousands more can also enjoy it through Radio Sai by watching our live web streaming of these events. These lovely students of Bhagwan Baba, by the way, range in ages from 5 to 25 years and beyond. These are the chosen ones whom Bhagwan referred to as his only property, his dearest children. And how much they value this privilege comes through loud and clear in the hard work they put into making each year's sports day more spectacular than ever before. So starting Monday early morning, all roads in this part of the world will lead to our Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium for the annual sports and cultural meet of the various Sri Satya Sai schools, the four campuses of the Sai University, the Mirpuri College of Music, the Sai Nursing College attached to our super specialty hospital at Whitefield, Bangalore, and much more. Ishwaramba School, of course, I should not forget. It's all so exciting. Can't wait for Monday to come. And you can actually feel the anticipation in the air because everywhere students are going around very busily wearing their track pants, which we rarely see the boys in track pants because they're always dressed in white and white and they're carrying big loads and working in teams. So just so much joy in the air. And on that very joyful note, let's begin Morning Glory with the prayer for the well-being of all life forms in all the worlds. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, as we say in Prashanti Nilayam. Yes, dear Lord, dear Bhagwan, we pray that all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Let there be harmony, peace and love among families, at workplaces, among nations, and across all inhabitants of our planet. Let the galaxies spin in harmony. Let the elements be harmonious. Let the skies be safe. Let the water be calm. Let divine joy flow through every heart to fill the universe with positive, happy vibes. And to maintain the happiness quotient, today on Morning Glory, coming up, part 2 of our Fleeting Moments conversation with Dr. K. Anil Kumar. Now, since part 1 and part 2 were recorded on different occasions, I have already aired part 1 a while ago. In fact, it was aired on Morning Glory on March 12th, 2015. And each part is sort of standalone, so it's not like they just paused half the story and they're continuing. So each part can be heard in by itself also. But I will urge you that after listening to today's part 2, you may want to catch up. So just go to Morning Glory Thursday Live Archives. Look for Morning Glory of March 12th, 2015 and you can catch part 1. So today you can hear my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushdie, in conversation with Sai University alumnus, Dr. K. Anil Kumar, in part 2 of this Fleeting Moments interview. But first, let's enjoy a sampling of songs that are contained in our recent release called Stream of Bliss. It's a Sai Blossom product available for your purchase in our Sai Blossom store located right outside the Radio Sai office in Prashanthi Nilayam. You're also welcome to download it for free from our website under audio downloads. This will be followed by my colleague Bishop Rushdie's Fleeting Moments interview with his guest Dr. K. Anil Kumar part 2. Have a listen please and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Streams of Bliss, our series of audio specials which are pure devotional melodies produced in the Radio Sai studios as an offering to Bhagawan on his historic 90th birthday celebrations.
Namo Rakapataye Namo Ganapataye Nama Ramakapataye Namaste Astulam Kodaraye Kadantaya Vignanashine Shivasutaya Varadamurtaye Nama
Rakapastambasu Pramu Bharadvadasa Gotramu दरबार में
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today, by Swami's grace, we have once again Dr. K. Anil Kumar. He is not to be confused with Professor Anil Kumar. We had the first episode of our conversation with him a month ago in February 2015, just after Shivratri celebrations. And on that occasion, Dr. Anil Kumar shared how he has experienced Swami as Dakshinamurti, as the Supreme Teacher. And we meet again today, and this is the month of March 2015, and this is the month when Bhagwan would generally be in Vrindavan, his ashram in Bangalore. And so when I heard that he's here in Prashant Nilayam, I requested him to recreate for us some of those profound moments that he has had with our Lord as Sai Krishna in this Kali Yuga Vrindavan in Bangalore. And Vrindavan is so fresh in everyone's mind now, because just a few days ago, the Atirudra Mahayagnam concluded in the Vrindavan Ashram. The yagyam that was done for the Traishwara Lingam in the sacred presence of Sai Ramesh Hall and Trai Vrindavan. And before we move on, just for those who have not heard the first part of this conversation with Dr. Anil Kumar, he has had 3 decades of association with Bhagwan, having come to his lotus feet when he was barely 6 years old. By divine guidance and instruction, he was blessed to do his 11th and 12th class, his undergraduation, postgraduation and his PhD, everything at Bhagwan's lotus feet in his university. And later he was blessed to be a faculty member in the Prashant Nilayam campus in the Department of Chemistry from 1991 till 2011. Currently he is the head of the Tata Chemicals Innovation Center in the city of Pune in Maharashtra. Well, that's a very brief introduction, and I guess all the listeners just like me are more eager to hear you speak, sir, about yourself, your moments of joy, your moments of revelation, your moments of realization, living in the proximity of this loving Lord Sai Krishna in Vrindavan. So please take us back to those days, and once again, a warm welcome to you, and thank you so much for being with us in the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Brother Prashti. It's always wonderful to be here and recapitulate Bhagwan, the moments that we spent with Bhagwan. With my prayerful pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and invoking him within me, with us, and praying to him that he guides and speaks through me. You were saying Vrindavan?
Yes.
The minute I start ruminating, thinking, recapitulating of those wonderful moments in the old bungalow in Vrindavan, this was during 1979 to 84.
Okay.
Trai Vrindavan was not yet constructed. Swami used to be in the old bungalow. It was more like a bungalow. And Krishna, as you know, was a playful Lord, but all the same, was a Jagat Guru too. That's where we always chant Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. Right? Swami too was extremely playful in Vrindavan. Just to recapitulate the, say, a day in Vrindavan, so to say.
Yeah, that would
be. Right? It would be so wonderful. We used to be standing outside the bungalow. There used to be, the whole setting was so wonderful. It was like an old British bungalow.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big porch, and the porch, in front of the porch, beautiful floral rangolis used to be made, and the smell, the fragrance of that natural flowers used to fill the air.
Mm.
And Swami used to walk, come down from the first floor where his residence was, and we used to be standing directly. The staircase leads into the bhajan hall.
Mm-hmm.
And outside the bhajan hall, there used to be big windows. So all of us will be standing in the windows. Two, three of us in each window, right? With our hands stretched. So Swami used to come, sometimes hit on our hand playfully, and then walk out. And sometimes come and stand in the middle of that big floral rangoli. That was a sight, really. Even now, when I see that, imagine, or even that, really, the image is so vivid in my mind, that Swami coming and standing in that porch on the floral rangoli, beautiful it used to be. And Swami used to walk down to the old Sai Ram shed. And as I said, playfully he used to convey the message. Like Krishna used to playfully convey the message. Like once it so happened, Swami was coming down this stairs and I was standing at the window. It's always, you know, whoever runs fastest and goes in and stays. So one of the window I got that day. And Swami was there. That was really shocking for me because never have I heard Swami singing bhajans other than during discourse. As Swami was walking down and going for darshan, he was humming a bhajan.
Okay.
And the bhajan, Swami used to at that time ask very often one of the bhajan singers to sing this. Anand Ram Bala Ram Ji Ke Bhaiya Giridhari Nanda Kumar Kanhaiya Madhuvan Ke Mohan Murali Bajaiya. Swami was humming this song.
Wow.
As he was walking. That's why this song is, you know, so beautiful. I remember it with so much fond memories. And that was a message for me. So playful, so full of energy Swami was. And Swami was singing. He was he doesn't need to sing God's name. He himself is the Krishna, right? But he was to convey the message to us that while you do your work, hum his name, think of him, sing his glory, right? In such a subtle way, Swami conveyed. And he was so casual with all of us. He used to sometimes get into the safe room before going to darshan.
And there was
we used to call it safe room because there was a big safe inside, that's
okay.
All. But that was a room where Swami used to go and spend time in a very casual manner with some students, some VIP devotees. Once in a while, Swami used to go into that room. And
this was in the ground floor of the old
bungalow. So Swami, there was a big mirror there. One day I have happened to be inside. And Swami was spending some time there. It was darshan time. Swami was getting up to go for darshan. He came near the mirror, arranged his hair, and then turned around and asked me, am I looking okay?
Oh my God.
It was so, he used to never make us feel here is the Lord of the universe, right? So that casual Swami was in Vrindavan. And what was our routine? Vrindavan, when Swami was downstairs, Swami will be either in the bhajan hall or the safe room or the interview room. So we used to be knowing and we used to be standing there, waiting when Swami would come out. Because Swami used to suddenly come out, speak to us or go to the deer cage. Right? So Swami used to spend whenever possible. We didn't want to miss even an opportunity of having his darshan and nor an opportunity of his looking at us. Right? So we used to be there all the time when Swami was downstairs. But when Swami used to be upstairs too, means till Swami retired, we used to be all the time in Vrindavan. Because when that old bungalow was wonderfully built, it had three rooms on the first floor. We used to call it first room, second room and third room. Swami's bedroom, dressing room and sitting room. There used to be big, big windows with curtains. In fact, the sitting space was a big grill with curtains. So we knew at what time Swami would be in which of these rooms. So we used to be standing in the garden below watching this window. Because Swami used to have the habit of opening the window once in a while and seeing.
Oh,
right. Sometimes he used to talk from there. Sometimes he used to smile.
Mm-hmm.
That one glance, one smile, we didn't want to miss it. We used to be pining away for that. So we used to be standing watching those windows. Right? Complete, total attention. Absolutely no deviation. That was our Vrindavan life. If you ask, what was Vrindavan life? And Swami used to keep this uncertainty constantly on.
We don't know when he is going to part.
When, we never know. Which day, some days he will not part at all. Some days he will part so many times. Right? Some days he will speak from there. So we used to go for breakfast or lunch. We used to be so reluctant to go because during that period when we had gone, it would have been that Swami would have opened and spoken to someone else who was there. Right? So We used to feel miserable. And but at the same time, we had to go and fill something, put means eat. So this, we had to run to the hostel, eat something very quickly, come back. But Swami constantly kept this uncertainty. There was no certainty of which day Swami will do what. And if I look back and really think about this, even in Parthi, even in Vrindavan for that matter, wherever Swami was, I think it's not the experience of only students, not the experience of only some of us, but every devotee was enjoying Swami's, I will say enjoying Swami's uncertainty. Even when darshan time, we never know which time Swami will come.
Yes.
Even after darshan is over, after interview, we never know whether Swami will come outside.
Yes.
So that constantly devotees and everybody was kept uncertain.
You're on the toes
all the time. The reason being, that uncertainty led us to focus our attention on Swami.
Exactly.
In fact, Swami used to tell some of the devotees earlier, like I know Kutumbrao sir, he had a lingam that Swami had given him from one of the Atma lingam. During Shivratri time, Swami used to take out the lingodbhavam, na? That lingam Swami had given him.
Oh, wow.
So he used to worship it every day.
He was the caretaker of the ashram.
Yeah. So one day it seems Swami asked him, Swami sent word for him. He was a little late. So Swami asked him, what were you doing? He said, Swami was doing abhishekam to the lingam. Then Swami said, why do you want to do puja when I am here?
Oh.
So was the case with every one of us. When Swami was physically there, we didn't require any puja or any sadhana, so to say, because our attention was on Swami. Everyone who was living at Parthi had come to Parthi, or living in Vrindavan had come for Swami's darshan to Vrindavan. We didn't have to do any other activity because attention was, see, why do we do any sadhana? To have our attention drawn, constantly focused on the divine. And Swami is too, in a very subtle, beautiful Krishna-like way, I will say, right?
Yes.
He used to ensure that this is naturally done for every devotee. Right?
Wow, amazing.
Now what's happening is, that is the factor that we are missing out now. So internally, the same, because having seen Swami, we know one thing for certain now, I think God loves this being uncertain.
Yes.
Or, in fact, today's Vedam, as I was thinking of this, today in the Vedam session, they chanted the Atma Suktam, where it comes as Paroksha Priya Ivahi Devaha. Means, the God's love to be anonymous. Right? So, Swami also loves to appear in a while, disappear in a moment.
As I said, nothing is a coincidence.
Yeah.
Everything is a coincidence.
Yes.
I mean, he is the orchestrator. Yeah, please go on, sir.
So Swami...
The elaboration of the Atma Suktam is very beautiful, sir.
So Swami used to invariably keep this uncertainty part of the divine, this elusive nature of the divine, is a thing I think we have now seen. Lord Krishna in Bhagavatam, used to hear Krishna used to be like that. We have seen Swami being like that. So now we know God loves to be like that. Right? So internally too, this gave me a very good message as I was thinking about this, that internally too, we need to be constantly having that attention towards our internal connection with Swami. Because we never know, even internally, maybe Swami is giving these darshans, these sambhashan internally to all of us. We aren't aware unless that attention is totally diverted to him. You may ask me, till when should we do this? Nivashishyasi mayyeva. Till we live inside with him, there is no uncertainty there.
Once you become one with him.
Right? So I think this is a very important message, and Swami has given a beautiful message to every devotee. What he has done in the physical, external world, we have to translate it into the internal world.
And I think, as you very rightly said, we have to be all the time alert.
Alert, yeah.
Because he's all the time from within giving us messages. Yes. From within he's giving us darshan, from within he's guiding us. But many times we may miss it, just like we have missed it when he was parting the curtain, that's if we are not alert.
This is where God, we chant that a beautiful couplet in Mahanarayana Upanishad. Swami used to quote this very often. Anuraniyan mahato mahiyan atma guhayam nihitosya jantoh tamakratum pasyati vita shoko dhatu prasadan mahimanamisham. Deliberately I chanted the whole thing just to tell you there's a beautiful meaning for the rest of the sentences too. Anuraniyan mahato mahiyan, all of us know this statement. He is the subtlest among the subtle and the mightiest among the mighty. Right? But the next sentences are also very beautiful. Atma guhayam nihitosya jantoho. Such a Lord is present as the Atma within every jivi. But sentence after that is even more important. Tamah kratum pashyati vita shopo dhatu prasadan mahimanamisham. Very important word is prasadan. Tamakratum means beyond this while of ignorance. Pashyati vita shoko, having seen him, getting rid of the sorrow, right? This happens why? How? Prasadan mahimanamisham. By the grace of the Lord alone it is possible.
Oh.
Means the Lord has to part the curtain. You can't part the curtain.
You can only be alert.
You can only be alert. Right? The other meaning for Anuraniyan Mahatumayan could also be that he gives messages or he interacts with us, he shows us his love in the subtlest of the subtlest ways and the mightiest and the most profound, open, easily recognizable way. Right? It could mean either way. So God is, but he knows when to respond. He knows what kind of response at what time should be given, what time is ripe for which devotee, is something for which experience is only something only he knows. That faith, we having lived with Swami, we will certainly have it. I'll give you one example to that. How Swami is to very know the, means, respond in a way that it remains etched in our memory forever and gives joy forever after that. So this happened when I was in my 12th. Again, Vrindavan days only. Swami's 55th birthday it was that year. And after birthday, Swami used to invariably come to Vrindavan. And that year being 55th birthday, we all thought we should have a good celebration in Vrindavan hostel. Hmm. Again a birthday celebration. Because in fact, Vrindavan, that 50th birthday, we all had come here. We were Sevadal. All boys were Sevadal at that time. We came 1.5 months, 2 months before we did Vibhuti packing. Lot of work, right from canteen to everything. That birthday, students managed everything. That was a unique thing of that birthday. But still, after coming, going back to Vrindavan, we thought again we should have good celebration of Swami's birthday in Vrindavan hostel. And it happened that Swami had come back around December time, first week. So December 9th was fixed that year for having the birthday celebrations in the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's 1980.
And that year, it so happened that my birthday, star birthday, I used to at that time celebrate only star birthday. Because that's that was a practice at home. I had just come from home, a year from home, right? So, I thought, I was used to celebrating star birthday and December 9th happened to be my star birthday.
Oh,
at that time, birthday was a unique opportunity students used to have. We could garland Swami.
Oh, wow.
We will be standing in the bhajan hall. The birthday boy will be standing in the bhajan hall with the garland all alone. And Swami, as I was describing to you, he'll come down the steps, come near the bhajan hall. Into the bhajan hall, the birthday boy put garland, take namaskar and then Swami is to go for darshan. That was the routine. So I was, that day Swami was supposed to come in the evening to hostel. And therefore, Warden Sir said, we have a lot of preparations to do in the hostel. In fact, that year, we planned everything. Right from dinner, Swami's discourse, music program, dinner. All three were planned that year on December 9th. Being birthday celebrations, everything was planned. And so a lot of preparations had to be done. You know, when Swami is coming to hostel, the whole hostel gets cleaned up.
Yes.
Right? So the Warden Sir said, no morning darshan. No one will go to Mandir today. Swami is coming to hostel in the evening, so let's get the hostel clean. So on one side, I was happy Swami is coming to hostel and there's so much of celebration that's going to happen. And on the other side, I was very, very sad. On a birthday, I lost the most wonderful opportunity, which I was waiting. Garlanding Swami is such a beautiful, wonderful opportunity, right?
And you get it only on your birthday.
Only on our birthday we get it. And also being alone in the bhajan hall, it's almost like an interview, right? So I was really feeling miserable. On one side, unhappy, on another side, happy, because Swami was coming to hostel. In any case, I was a garden boy by then, so I was involved in the garden work. And Swami had come in the evening, and there were a lot of activity, music program was there. Swami went around the hostel, some of the rooms, then came to the dining hall. We had, in fact, a music program in that outside Krishna statue is there, no? That moonlit area, garden. We had the music program.
Then
Swami went inside. We had a discourse followed by dinner. But all along, I was a fresher. And you know, when Swami comes to hostel, it's the outgoing batches who get the most of the chances. And I was also being fresher, didn't know which are the most important points to
vantage points,
so to say, where we should place ourselves so that Swami, we'll certainly have Swami's Paad Namaskar or Swami will look at us. I didn't know all those things, so I was somewhere at the back, enjoyed the program, but in the heart still that lingering feeling of having missed something was there. Program got over, it was 9:30, Swami went back to Mandir, and all boys ran, because the bhajan hall on either side, boys used to sit, and Swami will walk in between. And even the staircase, all our hands will be there right till wherever we can reach. Right? So Swami will hold us and then go up. So that was, but all these were all booked. Being a fresher, I didn't know how to run fast. Everything was booked. By the time I reached there, I saw nothing was available. And Swami came back from hostel, walked up and went inside. He went inside his bedroom. All boys were going back to hostel. I was all alone in the staircase room. At that point of time, all the feelings gave way. Means I was feeling little bad and I almost started crying in the staircase room. But no one was there. Not very loudly, you know that. No, just feeling bad. All of a sudden I hear Swami's voice. That sound of the bedroom door opening, and then A. Swami used to call A at that time, right? A. Then immediately I knew it was Swami, and because no one was there, I ran up the steps. And Swami opened the door and gave the kerchief, and he said, see, I brought this. Swami used to call the kerchief as towel, in his own sweet way. This towel I brought from hostel. Give it back. So I took the kerchief, afraid, no, going near Swami at that time, I don't know, there was kind of, not fear, but kind of, couldn't talk, couldn't be very free, right?
A lot of trepidation, you don't know how to sort of, quote unquote, handle.
So I just took the kerchief and came down. There were four steps to go up to Swami's bedroom again. So the staircase ends, and then again four steps are there, and then small platform, and then the bedroom door comes. So I went up the platform, took the kerchief, and came down these four steps. And Swami said again, hey, I look back. Swami said, Ivalani puttindoch kada.
Oh my God. Today is your birthday.
Today is your birthday, no. I, I was just stunned, and then Swami said, Chesko. He gave namaskar.
Take namaskar.
Take namaskar. Chesko means namaskar. Pad namaskaram Chesko. You know that, no? Swami says Chesko. So I went, ran up, and then took namaskar to this, my heart's satisfaction. Then Swami went inside. But this one incident, when to respond, I didn't tell Swami it was my birthday. At that time, giving letters and all that was also, I was not used to, nothing I was used to in that sense. And Swami knew the heart's prayer.
Wow. Amazing.
And he knew when to respond, see how to respond, when to respond. Beautiful. Even in that response, he conveys a message. I brought this kerchief from there, it has to go back there. There's a message for how to behave. Right? At the same time, a loving way to respond. In a sense, it shows that every bit of every prayer, he is there to respond. But he knows when to respond. That patience we need to have.
And he will respond at a time which is so beautiful that you can never forget.
You can never forget. Imagine
the most unexpected.
Most unexpected. What I was expecting, that I should be alone with Swami, it happened that way, right?
Yes.
But the way he made it happen was, instead of a routine,
he had almost given up completely.
Completely. Because it was 9:30 in the night, and all had gone back. In a few minutes, I knew I also would have walked back. The feeling bad, but still walked back to the hostel, right? Yes. Swami, at that point of time, the way he responded was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Means there's nothing like resting for the Lord. Whenever we pray, he responds.
Amazing. In fact, as you mentioned this definition, I mean, new way of understanding Anuraniyan Mahato Mayyan, he's the subtlest. And as well as he gives us experiences in a most obvious manner as well as in a very subtle manner. The other thing that came to me is, you know, he's the smallest of the smallest. In a sense, he's there within the smallest being of ourselves.
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
It was such a small thought. I mean, it was within some atom of your body.
Yeah, body, correct.
He's there within that, you know, whatever.
Yes.
The most subtlest.
Subtlest of the thought. When the thought itself starts,
initiates. He's there pervading the entire cosmos.
Yes.
As well as he's there within us in the most subtlest part of our being.
Yes.
Wow. Otherwise, how did he know?
How did he know? That's what. Because that one birthday I'll remember forever, all my life. And the way he responded was, that's what I said, no? He knows the right time, when to respond and how to respond. And he'll make a prayer made to him. He will make it fructify in a way that you will enjoy the sweetness of it forever.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's very beautiful.
Every response that Swami gives, for every devotee, I'm sure. The reason all of us love him and constantly think of him, we have no other, I would say we are so bound to him and think of him all the time, because every response he has given us is so sweet and so enjoyable. Every recapitulation is only joy.
Absolutely.
Right? So that was the Krishna aspect. He was the same, very same Krishna, playful.
Yes.
In fact, once in a while going to that, because we all used to be standing, he used to come and sometimes punch. If there was someone who had too much, means pakoda, Swami used to call, right? When someone who is stout and has a big belly, he used to come and punch inside the belly. So he was so very playful. On one side is to ask us, am I looking okay? Is my hair okay? Is my robe okay? And another side is to respond to our prayers. Mm-hmm. The combination of the Lord's ways were so enjoyable. We can go on and on like this. It's never ending.
Wow.
And I think this was the Lord.
Yeah, Vrindavan, apparently Bhagwan once mentioned that Puttaparthi is more like his office and Vrindavan is more like his home.
Yeah, that to a playful,
Lord. And I think in those days the setting was also such.
Yeah,
he had created such an environment there.
Yes,
you had deer there.
Yes, and he used to almost like the way Krishna spent time with Gopalas and Gopikas, it was very similar to that. All the time, he used to want us also to be all the time with him. In fact, he used to ask us once, sometimes we used to, this is, now we can talk about it, we used to, in fact, not go to college and be around, hanging around in the garden and near Swami there. Swami used to ask us, do you have classes? We used to be silent and then Swami used to smile. Swami used to, it's okay. sort of a thing. So sometimes we used to feel Swami is also encouraging, need not go every day to this routine secular education. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So that kind of,
those were the days when you used to go to the city or the Vrindavan campus or those were the days when you used to go to the city for classes?
No.
This was once after the university had come.
After the university had come, okay. Swami had become like a chancellor. Till the university came, Swami was Krishna. I'll put it that way because this is one thing I observed. Till Vrindavan College got affiliated to Sathya Sai Institute, we used to not go to classes, Swami used to not say anything to us. But once it got affiliated to Sathya Sai Institute, he became a strict chancellor.
That's exactly what I wanted to know. Because I think when the boys used to go to the Bangalore city for studies, and once in a while if they missed, I think Swami was, okay. He allowed it if you're spending time in Vrindavan.
Yes. So, that chancellor's role, we used to feel, why is it that Swami is taking a chancellor's role? Why can't he be the same Krishna again?
Mm. Wow. So, and I think many times when I reflect on Bhagavan as Krishna, and you know, you mentioned about these Gopikas, one thing was this uncertainty aspect. And the second thing, which many times I think in the days of Vrindavan, everything that the Gopikas did or the Gopalas did, were all the time thinking, what else can I do so that I can spend one more moment with Swami?
Correct. In fact, it was exactly the same way. We used to be waiting. There were two chances which used to take us close to Swami, physically, right? One was the postman coming with telegrams. Mm-hmm. At that time, there was no all this kind of connectivity wasn't there. It used to be telegrams. And telegrams were very different from other post. Telegrams could be handed over directly to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to be waiting. The minute postman enters Vrindavan campus, we'll pounce on him to snatch away all the telegrams. Whoever is the first student, he'll snatch away all the telegram. Because whoever has a telegram has the right of entry into any room.
Oh, wow.
Other than into your room, wherever Swami is sitting, you can go with the telegram and then give the telegram to Swami. So that was one opportunity. The second opportunity was in case a lotus blooms in one of the ponds in college.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the gardener, Amarnath sir, used to be there. He used to get that lotus. We used to immediately snatch that lotus or the sampangi flower.
Mm-hmm.
And these were not immediate passports, but we could stand somewhere in the front row and try to give this to Swami. And there again, Swami is too invariably, living with Swami was all the time education. Swami is to give beautiful message. Like only once I got that opportunity of getting the lotus. So I took that lotus and went inside into a safe room, gave it to Swami. Means I stood with it. Swami looked at me and he said, extended his hand. So as I was giving, Swami said, I don't want this, I want your Hridaya Pushpam.
Oh, wow. The lotus of your heart.
So, in every interaction with everyone, all boys, all devotees, all the time, Swami is to convey what is more relevant, what is more lasting, what is really essential to be with him, to be connected with him, to become one with him. Like I remember, even in Patti, we used to be all the time, as I was telling you last in my last episode to you, that when Swami was living in this mandir, we used to be standing in mandir till Swami used to retire and go up. Because we never know when Swami will open the door and see. So sometimes we used to even come from hostel, or when I was living in mandir, come from home and be around in mandir all the time. Because afternoons also Swami used to come down or come on the upstairs portico. So once it so happened, I somehow got the urge and just came to Mandir, and was Bhajan Hall that time. It was just before, it was November time, before convocation and all these programs were about to begin. So the inside Mandir, that altar was, the silver decoration that is there was getting polished. So the people, workmen were working. Swami's, that big photograph is there. Yes. In the Mandir, that was kept on the side. So I also was in the Mandir Bhajan Hall watching all that. Within a moment also Swami came inside.
Hmm.
And Swami looked at, only other than the workmen, I was the only person there. Swami looked at all the workmen, spoke to them. So I was standing on the side. So Swami's, that big photograph was onto the wall. And I was standing next to it because Swami was speaking to all the workmen who were working in the center of the Bhajan Hall. I was waiting there. Then as Swami was going back, you know, Swami used to look, when Swami comes close to you, it's a different experience, beautiful. And Swami started coming close, and he was, a beautiful smile was there, and he looked at me, looked at the photograph, his own photograph on the side, and he said, "Who is that in the photograph?" he asked me. I said, "Swami, it's you." "What is he to you?" Swami asked. "Kemotadu" means actually a very important message, right? So I said, "Swami, my everything." Swami said, no, "You are he." And he walked off.
He said that, "You are he."
Very, a message which means, no, it's the, even at such a moment, the only the ultimate principle Swami is to convey. There was not a moment at any time with Swami that Swami used to convey anything else other than Advaita. And just Swami in the same sweet smile, he just walked into the interview room. I was dazed. Even now I'm still ruminating and wondering how to reach that stage.
Hmm.
That's a reality we know, but then...
When you ruminate like this, just... one or two moments like this are enough.
Enough, I mean, yeah.
When the God comes down in an avatar, in a human form, and He grants us such moments, these one or two moments are enough to liberate us. And so gracious He's been. I mean, He's given us so many moments.
So many such moments, really. And as I said, everything in the most... beautiful, loving, uncertain manner.
Uncertain.
We don't know when He'll give it.
This was also so uncertain.
This was not during darshan time. This was not during any of those normal routine times. I just happened to, because that habit means, not habit, that urge to be, linger around in the Mandir, because we never know when Swami comes, was all the time there. So I came off into Bhajan Hall at that time. This was afternoon, 1:32. Around that time, I just was in the Bhajan Hall, work was going on, so I was also just roaming with seeing all the thing. Because sometimes I used to come on to the portico.
Yes.
Mandir portico. So you could see even from Bhajan Hall window.
Hmm.
Because work is going on here, I was expecting Swami will see from top into the Bhajan Hall.
Hmm.
So I missed that opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
And that day it so happened, Swami just came down straight. And that incident I can't forget, because Swami is that big photo. Beautiful. That itself is a wonderful photo of Swami's.
Yes, yes.
And that was right next to me. I was standing right next to it because there was no other place for me. And Swami came and said, "Who is that in the photograph? And what is he to you?" I was thinking because Swami used to tell us all the time in Vrindavan, and this was one very important message Swami used to tell all the students earlier. Swami used to tell in the discourses, especially in my 11th standard, most of the discourses Swami used to give in to hostel boys, Swami used to say, "Have a relationship with me."
Mm-hmm.
"Have a relationship with God." Same thing what Swami said in the 48th birthday, I told you, right? "Have a relationship with me in your heart and you will be rewarded."
Yes.
In the public speech what Swami had told, Swami used to tell all the students, "Have a relationship, be it mother, be it father, be it friend, whatever relationship you want to have with me, but have a relationship." I will respond, Swami used to say. A very important message for every human being. Because this is the message, this is the purpose for Avatar's descent. Very, very important message. I will go to another experience to tell this message. So, this is 1984. Swami used to give a series of discourses on Bhagavad Gita in the Bhajan Hall in the evening around 4:30. So, the discourses immediately after college, we all used to rush into the Bhajan Hall. Swami used to, there used to be one person who used to speak about Bhagavad Gita for a while, and after which Swami will give a discourse on Bhagavad Gita. And we were all made to learn the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we used to recite that during those days. So it so happened that during this, as the discourses were going on, 34 discourses Swami had given. As this was going on, in the college, couple of our faculty members, in the morning, they were discussing, because Gita was the topic that Swami was talking about, so they were discussing among themselves. This later on, the faculty members spoke in the foyer and told us this experience. They were discussing in the among themselves in the staff room and saying there is something wrong or we have not understood what Krishna has said. He says in Gita that whenever there is a decline of dharma, he takes an avatar to uplift dharma. Right? This every one of us know this stanza. But then if you really see what has happened, Rama had come and gone. Treta became Dwapara. So there was a decline of dharma. Krishna came, Lord Krishna came, and after Lord Krishna's leaving the mortal coils, Dwapara became Kali. So there is a decline of dharma rather than upliftment of dharma. So has the avatar failed each time he had come to do something? Right? A very important question. They were really confused.
Mm.
In Bhagavad Gita, if you read, it says, yes, to uplift dharma, he takes an avatar. And on the other side, if you really see what has happened,
over time, it has only deteriorated.
Deteriorated. And that too, immediately after the avatars, this one, there was a deterioration rather than ascendance.
Yes.
Right? So that evening, this is how Swami responds and answers every this kind of, especially questions and queries that people had in spiritual life about our scriptures, Swami used to immediately respond and clarify. That evening in the discourse, Swami was actually speaking about 12th chapter, suddenly went off to this stanza and said the same statement. He said, people think Krishna gave this pratignya that I will uplift dharma, but every time God comes and goes, there is a decline of dharma.
Swami said,
and then Swami said, what is the dharma that Krishna mentioned in his Gita? When God says dharma, what is the dharma that God is referring to? He said, there are two dharmas. One is deha dharma, other is atma dharma. Deha dharma will go as per the cycle. It will grow, it will decay, it will grow, it will decay. This is a cycle which goes on, and God is not bothered about deha dharma.
It's concerned with the body.
It's concerned with the body. The atma dharma, which Swami also said, is prema dharma. Hmm. Why? It is the relationship of jivatma with paramatma. And that when it decays, God comes to revive, restore that. Swami said, it is because Krishna came and went, there were Gopikas, there was Mirabai, there was Surdas. It is because Rama came and went, the relationship with Rama, with the Ayodhyavasis, with the Vanaras, and then took, Swami said, even for that matter, Tyagaraja was happened because of Rama avatar. So avatar's only goal is to restore the link of man with God.
Wow.
That is the goal of avatar's descent. He descends only to strengthen our relationship with him. And that's what Swami used to tell all of us in various discourses. Even in the 48th birthday, the landmark discourse, what Swami said, have a relationship with me in your heart and you will be rewarded. It is the relationship of the Jivatma with the Paramatma which is the most critical and most important dharma, which will liberate us. That is the dharma which liberates us, not the Deha dharma. So Lord comes to revive that dharma. So beautifully Swami explained it that time. He said, it is not the Deha dharma. Deha dharma will decline. As per the cycle of our yugas, it will decline, it will grow. And because it is his creation, he wants it to go that way. There's no question of that being changed. So externally you are seeing the Deha dharma decay and you are feeling the Deha dharma as decay, and therefore avatar has not done what he has come down to do. And if you really now look back and see Swami, the kind of relationship Swami has revived for all of us with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. For the millions of us, right? He is the only one who is the link. He is the goal, he is the link, he is the means. Yes.
Absolutely.
Right? That is his love.
He has become the center of
our lives.
Life of so many people.
Yes.
And it could be a very minuscule number who would have had physical interaction with him. But
he is the center of millions.
Millions.
Center of everyone's life. And he is now, everyone is related to him.
Yes.
That bond of love with him is so strong and created for, I would say, forever. Mm. For all of
that,
us.
That is the magic of a physical form. You, many times I used to think that, you know, that's what Krishna did, you know, you get so enamored.
Yes.
By his love, by his music, by his magic and everything, just like Swami, that you get so attached to him. Yes. Once you get so attached to him, then he sort of slowly withdraws the form.
Yes.
And now you cannot live without it. So you want to search for it and you will not get it outside. Yes. You have to go inside. The same thing is happening.
This is what Swami said in a beautiful way in, to get a connect to this, in 1999, Swami had given us an interview. And that was the first time I heard Swami say this. All the time before that, Swami used to, in fact, in Vrindavan time, Swami used to tell us about, gave the discourse about meditation, tell us about dhyanam. He used to invariably say, think of my form, and describe himself. So that was what we were used to. 1999 interview Swami had called us. Swami closed the interview room door, and then pointed to himself and said, looked at all of us and said, how long do you want to run behind this body?
Oh.
How long do you want to be after this body? Unseen Swami is more powerful than seen Swami.
He said that?
Mm. And then Swami said, started giving examples, unseen roots are the ones that sustain the tree. Unseen foundation is the one which is responsible for the mansion. Unseen force is more powerful than seen force. How long do you want to be after this body? So I thought that was an opportunity we should not miss. So I said, Swami, how do I contact this unseen? First Swami joked, you have done PhD, don't you know that much? Then I said, Swami, please tell, how do I contact this unseen Swami? I thought it will be some great revelation, right? Swami gave a very simple answer. Swami just looked at me and he said, I've been telling this from the beginning. Love, Ra, love, Swami said.
Wow.
And if you really see, it is the relationship, it is our love for him which connects us to him. Meera could connect to unseen Krishna because of what? Because of love. Gopikas could connect to Krishna when Krishna was even in Mathura because of their love for Krishna. Right? So it is that love, the bond of love that connects us to the unseen Swami. So there's seen is the avatar, the time we have spent with this avatar is to create that bond of love.
Yes.
Now we have to nurture it and live in it to get connected to the unseen.
I think just like that iceberg, they say more than 80 to 90% of the iceberg is actually within the water.
Yeah.
So what is seen is actually very little.
Very little.
And what is unseen is the most powerful part of our relationship with Bhagwan, and that is what we should cultivate. And I think that is what will power us, that what will strengthen us, and that will also is that is also what which will perhaps continue to give us that joy.
Yes.
Of
living with him living all the time.
Living with him all the time. Wonderful.
See, this loving, beautiful Lord, we can't afford to have, like Swami used to say, edabatu in Telugu, a very good word, means a separation with him even for a moment. We don't want to be separated with him even for a moment, right? And that continuous contact we can have only through this constant attention and love. That constant attention to the, when he will open the curtain, we don't know, internal curtain, right?
Yes.
So we have to have that constant attention to the internal Sai.
Absolutely.
True love.
I was thinking, you know, even that message that Swami gave you, that he is you, that photograph is you, but that happened because, you know, you were loitering around in the mandir and you were all the time there because you did not want to miss a chance.
Yes.
Of, if there was an opportunity of another glimpse of him.
Yes.
Because of your alertness, you got that unexpected blessing from Bhagwan. So I think there are both these aspects. Yes. Our effort is this constant alertness to the blessing that the Lord is ever willing to give.
Ever willing to give.
Yeah.
But all the same, I still want to say this. Very uncertain. When he will give.
When he will give.
Right?
Yes.
Because he loves that. We used to observe one thing. Swami used to love opening the curtains once in a while and seeing there was no certainty of when he'll give his darshan. Yes.
And he will ensure that you definitely today or tomorrow get to that point where you cannot live without him.
Yes.
as someone said, Ishin Bhagwan said, either there are only two choices. Either you come to me or I will barge.
Yes, that's all.
I will barge into your heart.
Like Shri Baba used to say, his people, he will drag them like the bird tied with a string.
Yeah.
So there's no choice. Bird is tied with a string.
It is our opportunity and it's good for us to take the easier route and the most loving route.
Loving route.
And enjoy.
Even right. Other way, the beauty with the divine is, even the other way, if someone wants to be, still his relationship and his experience of the divine is always sweetness, always joy.
Always joy.
There can be nothing else with Swami.
Wow, amazing, sir. Beautiful. I think we started this discussion on Bhagwan as Krishna and we are ending with this note on love and building this relationship of love.
Yes.
And I think there is nothing more profound than that. Everything starts with love and it ends with love.
Yes.
And thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios. And just been, it has again another very enlightening session and I really pray to Bhagwan that we get to have this satsang session as many times as possible. Whenever you are here in Parthi, let us pray to Bhagwan that we can extend and continue this beautiful session of ruminating on his message and his love. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Sir. Thank you for giving this wonderful opportunity of mananam. Living in him is the only thing that gives us joy.
Absolutely.
Sai Ram.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy, happy, be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. All will be happy, God will be happy.
Jaishwaraya Vidmahe, Satyadevaya Dhimahi, Tannasaiva Prachodayate. Jaishwaraya Vidmahe,
back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, on January the 7th, 2016. The time in the ashram right now is 48. I was waiting for that second hand to go. 48 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. And the temperature outside the Radio Sai studios right now is exactly 24 degrees Celsius. We are expecting the mercury to rise up to 31 degrees Celsius in the afternoon and drop to a very pleasant and cool 16 degrees Celsius overnight. A few moments ago, you just heard a very lively interview. This was part two of Fleeting Moments with Dr. K. Anil Kumar. He is an alumnus of the Sai University and he was in conversation with my colleague, Radio Sai's very own Mr. Bishu Prushti. We look forward to your feedback to this very inspiring and interesting interview. As always, you can reach us at, you know the email ID by now, by heart I hope, listener@radiosai.org, that is. One important and friendly reminder, dear brothers and sisters, if you can, be sure to come to Parthi for the Gala celebration starting January 11th to January 15th. That is Monday through Friday of next week. And that's because we're going to have the sports day and the Sankranti related many cultural items thereafter. And those of you who are unable to join us in person, please don't lose heart. Bhagwan, in his infinite compassion, has given us this blessing of Radio Sai. Our teams are working round the clock as we speak, ensuring all the proceedings from the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium on 11th of January and the next 4 days after that from the Kulwant Hall are web-streamed to keep your umbilical cord to Prashanti Nilayam intact. So be happy, stay connected and enjoy the celebrations wherever you are, thanks to Bhagwan's very own Radio Sai. Let us now take a moment to reflect upon Bhagwan Baba's divine words from the summer course discourse of June the 1st, 1990. Baba says, and I quote him, "All things happen according to the divine will, that is Daiva Sankalpam. By your own effort, you cannot achieve anything." The day before yesterday, I told you how in several instances, men could not achieve things in spite of all their efforts, and how success came seeking those who had not tried for it. It is only due to ahamkara that you wrongly appropriate to yourself both doership and enjoyership. You are the very embodiment of bliss. Bliss is your very nature. But it is a tragedy that you are unable to recognize it and experience it. This bliss is veiled by likes and dislikes, the sense of I and mine, hesitation and doubt, pleasure and displeasure, etc. Baba says, attachment and hatred are the thick clothes that shroud the bliss in you. When you get rid of attachment and hatred, you can discover your own real nature. How strange and foolish it is that despite yourself being the very embodiment of bliss, you're searching for bliss elsewhere. Although everything is within you, you are unfortunately running after petty desires and silly sensual pleasures in the phenomenal world. What is the reason for this mad race? Ignorance of the truth that you are yourself the source of all bliss. Unquote. Let us take a moment to assimilate the profundity of this declaration, which I quoted from Bhagwan Baba's summer course discourse of June 1, 1990. With that, dear brothers and sisters, it is now time for me to bid you Sai Ram. I hope you have a saisome awesome day ahead. May the Lord bless, protect, guide and guard you always. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well. Keep seeking and loving God with all that you have. And stay happy. Till the next segment comes up, join me in enjoying some edifying music from our CD, Streams of Bliss. Jai Sai Ram.
मेरी धड़कन तुम्हा सांसों में बसती है तो मेरी माँ नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे साईं मतलब बदलाया दूर न जाना